Welcome to the Expert Speak Podcast with Michael DeLon. Each episode features a leading expert who shares helpful insights, practical tips, and memorable stories that will inspire you, educate you, and help you enjoy more success, freedom, and purpose in your life. For the next few minutes, enjoy listening to Expert Speak with Michael DeLon.
And welcome to another episode of Experts Speak. I am Michael DeLon. Today I am talking with Titus Walker. And Titus, dude, thank you for spending some time with me on my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. This is going to be a fun one, folks, because Titus does something I've never had anybody on my podcast doing, which he is involved in esports. And if you don't know what that is, hang around because it's going to be phenomenal. He runs a company, started this Ultimate End Gamers League about 8 or 9 years ago. It's amazing what he's doing. So if you know anything about gaming, I know a little bit just because I've got kids, right? But what Titus has done is he's built a community of gamers that's not tied to any specific game. And what they're really focused on is mastering the art of gaming and acquiring real life skills. And dude, I can't wait to unpack that, because a lot of people my age think gaming is just a waste of time. But I know that there's a lot in it that can benefit. So let's jump into this, Titus. Tell me, man, how in the world did you get doing what you're doing today?
Yeah. So I started. It was a great recap, by the way. I started in real estate, and I would do community building. And so it was development, basically, but I call it community building. We'd go in, we'd find a plot of land and develop it. And we did everything from a 10 home community all the way up to a 2000 home community. Wow. So I learned really, really well how to position a community, what people were looking for, what type of people went, you know, meshed really well together, what businesses met with these different communities or different parts of land and stuff like that. And so when I was doing that for 8 years, about 4 or 5 years into it, I started to see the cycles. I did a lot of research on like the cycles of real estate. And I knew that there was a cycle coming that would be a little bit tougher. So I was like, I should probably start to like diversify a little bit. And so I tried a lot of different things, but I've always loved gaming. And so I started looking into the gaming area, and I found that, I did a ton of research and found that the average gamer plays 24 games a year. And I was, so then I started looking for competitions that were focused on more games, like, you know, more for the average gamer. And there wasn't one. So I was like, okay, I guess I have to create it. And that was kind of how that all went.
That's awesome. And there are lessons galore just in what you just shared, especially finding a need in the market and filling it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. So you found this void in the market.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, let's fill this. All right. Just for us old folks in the audience, right? Help us understand gaming and esports. So I've heard of like Rocket League and Fortnite. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So essentially in gaming period, you hear the individual games, and then there's a competition. I'm going to play you. One of us is going to be the best Rocket League player, right? Or you know, whatever the game is, Fortnite, Rocket League, whatever. That's how all competitions are run, period. Every single one of them, there's a single game. We play each other. We figure out who's the best at that game. Well, the problem with that I saw when I first created this was, one, it didn't feed the average gamer. Like, the average gamer is just not playing one game. So why wouldn't we have something that's for the average gamer? But thing number two was, I thought of it like real estate, and it would be like if I in real estate was to build my house on someone else's land. Like, I don't own the game. Therefore, if I build a community around the game, then the person that does own the game eventually can take it from me, right? Because if they decide to shut the game down, if they decide I'm no longer allowed to market that game or sell that, like whatever it is, it's completely up to them. So I'd be building my business based on their intellectual property, which just has never been a good business plan. So as I'm going through creating my business plan, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that. But I was watching, and everyone else was doing that. And that was kind of the thing, especially 2019, 2020. It was like millions, hundreds of millions of billions of dollars being thrown around into gaming, where they all kind of followed that same blueprint. And that was probably one of the tougher times to really continue what I was doing, because I knew it was right. I knew it was the right thing to do. But you know, everybody else felt like if I just did it that way, then I could get this money, and so it was a time.
All right, we're gonna stop. There you go. So here's what you need to hear about what he just said. Number one, play in your own sandbox, dude. I tell people all the time. So many business owners are playing in the Facebook sandbox or the LinkedIn sandbox, and they don't get what you understand is that they own those sandboxes. Get them on your turf, right? And so that's what you've done is you created your own sandbox per se, and they're yours. That's awesome. Number one. Number two, you looked at the competition. Everybody was going in one direction, and you were wise enough to go, okay, I'm going in an opposite direction. And so many times in business, that's all we do is we look at our peers and we go, well, they're doing it. I better do it too. No. Understand what your game plan is and have the guts to go the other direction. Kudos to you, Titus. Wow. I am so glad you're here because you are killing it, dude.
All right. Thank you.
So you created this community, you had this idea. How'd you get started? How'd you get launched? What, I don't know anything about that space. So
yeah. So initially it felt like releasing an album. I created this concept of the gamer and how it's played, and the match itself, nobody does anything like it. So I researched the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, UFC. I'm big on research. You'll find that's a thing I do all the time. But I researched them all and how they were created. And I was like, okay, I'm really kind of creating my own sport within gaming. So I need to like develop it in a way that makes sense. The UFC kind of made the most sense because the UFC was actually developed off of Mortal Kombat, a game itself. I don't know if you know that. But in researching their business model, essentially the way they existed, they created a sport within all these different sports. You had wrestling already, you had jiu-jitsu, you had boxing, you had all these different styles of fighting. And they said, what if we combine them all and determine who the best fighter is, right? So we take all of these different styles and then we say, you can do any of them. And then who's the best fighter, right? And so I felt like that was the closest comparison. I studied their model, kind of mixed and matched different pieces and created a way for us to compete in all these different games, but where no game is worth more than the other and the games can be interchanged. And it's more about the skills within the gaming than it is about the game itself, which allows me to keep control of my community.
Got it. So if somebody's really, really good at Rocket League, right? And somebody else is really, really good at Fortnite. Now you created a platform or an area or a community where you can now go head to head in another game, let's say, or vice versa, and play that because the skills you learn in Fortnite are probably transferable to the other ones, but maybe you don't play it very much and you're going to get kicked until you figure some things out, right? I mean, is that kind of it? So
yeah, exactly. I mean, essentially all video games are expressing yourself digitally, expressing certain skills digitally. Like that's really all it is. You're essentially going into this digital environment and you're either working like in fighting games, it's memorization, it's patterns. It's like, because I have to be able to do these different things to be able to put out a combo. I have to understand exactly how far I need to be away from this person. That's spatial awareness. In shooting games, it's hand-eye coordination. It's a target tracking, precision, understanding your opponent and their movements. Like, so it's all just skills that you're going to utilize in life at some point, but you're doing them in a digital environment. And so it's like honing in on different skills. So when you're playing Fortnite, all you're really doing is like, you know what you're doing, but you can't necessarily define it, but you know that you are, you know, tracking this opponent, you're seeing where they're going, you're anticipating what their next move is going to be. And so we started to basically kind of compile what each game taught, what each genre taught: fighting games, sports games, shooting games, racing games, strategy games. And then we found a way to like, not only like test them for those skills and see where they stand, but then translate that into that genre of games. So that if you're not a Fortnite player, you're a shooting game player. And then what style of shooting games fit your niche? And then how do those translate into, like, one thing in shooting games that require a lot of precision, the players that play that really well translate into racing games so well, because racing games are so precise. And so a game like Valorant will be, if someone's good at Valorant, they're most likely good at F1. It's weird and it's hard to kind of, but that it's reality. Like, they're both utilizing the same digital skills. And so that's how we've kind of created this sport, if you will.
That's very cool, because what you just explained is what we call cross-pollination. It's exactly what you did from real estate into gaming is you took something you knew, you looked for something that's similar and you applied yourself. And I love what you're talking about is the skills that you utilize in gaming are the skills you utilize in life. Because I'm really convinced that a lot of people are looking down on all these young gamers and going, well, they're just wasting their time. They're just blobs or whatever. Where what you're unveiling for us is, oh no, their brain is going on hyperload just and if you take somebody who understands that gaming mentality and you place them in a good corporate environment or a business or something that says, here's what we're trying to do. How do we do this? And they're just gonna lock and load because it's the same skill set. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. I mean, take a fighting game player and put them in the stock market. What is the stock market? It's just a digital video game. You're literally watching. You're trying to understand what your opponent's going to do next. You want to understand the market. You watch the trends. You follow them. You look at the patterns, right? That's all that is, right? And so you can take somebody that's learning all of these things in a fighting game, translate them into the stock market, and then that person is going to be very well adept to operating within that stock market once they learn the rules, right? And that's really all it is. Each game has its own rules, but you're utilizing the same skills. And so you have to learn the rules and then you can apply them to that game. And so that's what we do.
That is very cool. And from a business perspective, then business owners need to be looking to recruit people who have gaming and gaming skills as a positive and dive into it versus saying, oh, you're kind of weird. You're an unsocial person because you're gaming. And what I realize is my 25-year-old son, I love him to death, but I'll call him sometimes and I hear in the background, like, what in the world is that? He's like, oh, I'm gaming with somebody. I'm gaming with my friend over here. And they talk and they have more socialization than I do sometimes. I mean, that's the cool part about gaming is you're talking with people all around the world sometimes, right?
Yep, exactly. Like it's something that you can enjoy doing and it's all the same language. You all speak the same language within that game, right?
Yeah.
So it's such an interesting world to be a part of. And I'm, you know, very excited to be a part of this world and be developing something that I love and that I can really enjoy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the development aspect because you're in year or season. I think you're just closing out season. You tell me, 7 or 8?
Season 8, getting ready for season 9.
All right, closing out season 8. And everybody thinks gaming is just, you know, playground, right? Well, season 8 competition, and help me if I'm wrong, I saw the prize was, you got like $100,000 on the line for these people who are coming. Next year,
$1 million.
More than that. Talk about that.
Yeah, next year is $1 million prize pool. And it's paid out in guarantee. So it's a salary for the players. So the players are making anywhere between $16,000 a year to $100,000 a year to just play video games and they're pretty much they're all under contract as performance artists. So they're just entertaining the people that we've built a community around and an audience around.
I love it. That is so crazy. Think about me. But we go to arenas to watch 22 guys play football or 10 play basketball. And what you do is you put gamers in there and fill the arena and then do it online to do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Essentially, I mean, it's always been the case that we're willing to kind of go into this Coliseum and watch people play games. It's just different rules every time, you know, like, you know, this is just games in a digital environment, which is where we're headed. I mean, there's no way around that. We're talking to each other in the same room, but in completely different rooms across, you know. So it's where we're headed no matter what, but finding that, finding our way to that space where we can create something that is, you know, owned by the people, for the people, that everyone can kind of enjoy. And that's been my thought process right now. The way esports is set up, it's pretty much just owned by those looking to profit off of it wholly. And so it's not really seen as a sport. In my opinion, I don't think it's a sport at all. I think it's just people playing video games right now. But my goal is to get it to where it becomes a sport. And I think about it like the NBA, the NFL, you know, those are all sports because they don't own, like NBA doesn't own basketball. They control basketball. So if they decide to change a rule and you can get 3 steps instead of 2, all of basketball will change along with that, right? And it's not to say they own it. It's not to say that, but they're the ones in control of it, right? And so, and I think that that is where, in order for gaming to get to that point, there has to be somebody that's controlling it and determining like the path forward. And that person has to be a person that really sees the vision of what gaming can be and how important it is, instead of somebody that's just looking to make a quick buck.
Yeah. So you're going, dare I say, so in football, NFL, I think his name is Roger Goodall or something. He's the NFL commissioner.
Yep.
You are going to become the esports commissioner, right?
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love it because you're not controlling, but you're influencing this whole world of esports and gaming and bringing it together. And I love, you know, it's really fascinating. I never really put those all together, but it's like, and I'm not a big Marvel guy or whatever, but all the superheroes, right? You got Captain America, you got Superman, you got Hulk. They're all experts at what they do. Right. But you bring them all together and they're a better team.
Yep.
And that's kind of what you're doing here. So it would not surprise me in the, you know, 2030 Olympiad, we have esport gaming because of what you're doing and your vision for putting this thing together and building this community that's this, look, I assume it's worldwide, right? Because it's the internet.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're headed towards. I mean, at the end of the day, they tried to do the Olympics. It failed miserably with gaming because they couldn't get the developers to look past the profit. They, in order for the big games to get involved, they needed, you know, $100 million in licensing, right? Which again becomes the problem. Like, they'll only allow it to get so big before they have their hands out and they have people to pay. So it's not, it's really not like their fault, right? Like, that's why we can't make it about a game. We have to make it about gaming and gamers. That's the only way we succeed. You put the art before the commerce. So the art is gaming, right? The commerce is the business side. The gaming has to come first, or else you end up in a situation where it's all for profit and you don't have a sport.
Absolutely. Boy, it that plays out in business as well. If you try to lead with getting the money, you're not going to get there. But when you lead with service, in this case, you're going to get the crowd and people are going to follow and do some really cool things.
Exactly.
Titus, man, I'm super impressed. A way to go. I'm sure I could go on for another 15, 20, 30 minutes just asking you all kinds of questions, but let's pause and help my audience understand. I mean, how do old folks like me, dude, how do we start getting into this world? How do we find out more about you and the competitions you've got going on and all that? What are some of our next steps?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can follow us on all social media at UEL Esports. We're on everything. You can watch it. We have a match every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We actually, we right now we're in playoffs. You can follow us on all social media. You can go to our website, UELEsports.com. Keep up. It's free to join. So if you have kids, grandkids that are interested in participating, they can absolutely do so. We're doing competitions. We just launched a UEL education platform where we're going to be teaching kind of that real life skills. There's a lot, you know, just follow us on social media and you can get all the information and keep up.
I love it. UEL Esports, that's Ultimate
End Gamers League.
Ultimate End Gamers League, UELEsports.com. I'm going to have that in the show notes.
End gamer. So end gamer is a word we own, and it's like essentially the end gamer. When you get to the end of a game in a video game, it unlocks every part of that game. So the end gamer is the person that's mastered the game, and so now they've unlocked all parts of it, and now they can really compete. So it's a word that our gamers love it, our community loves it, and if you're an end gamer, you're like top of the line gamer.
I love that he's coined his own name and he hopefully has trademarked it and he's got the
rest
because that is so important. So well done, Titus. You are a man way ahead of your time and
thank
you. Love what you're doing here. So thank you. Thank you for being my guest. Thanks for the passion you bring to this and for the vision that you have to really bring gaming and gamers to the forefront. The profit's going to follow. That's no big deal. But you're actually going to influence and change millions of lives by doing what you're doing, dude. Thank you.
That's the goal. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Expert Speak with Michael DeLon. If what you've heard today was helpful to you, reach out to our expert guest and see how they can serve you to bring you more success, freedom, and purpose in your life.